every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. We'll stand as we sing, and let us sing it out heartily unto the Lord. Just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us just look to the Lord tonight, praying for the Lord's presence and blessing among us. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Thee tonight in the worthy and precious name of Thy Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank Thee tonight, as we've been singing, that we can say of a truth that Thou art indeed the fount of every blessing. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, tonight as Thy people, that Thou hast blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. And O God, we thank Thee, Heavenly Father, tonight that we can rejoice in Thy grace toward us. O Lord, Thy word tells us that Thou hast chosen us even unto Thyself in salvation. And Lord, this is a great mercy to us as the people of God. We realize, O God, if we had been left to ourselves, we would have no care or thought of Thee. Yet, O God, we thank Thee that Thou didst set Thy love upon us, and that Thou didst make us, Lord, to see our need of Christ as lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinners. And, Father, we thank Thee for that time in our own experience when Thou didst cause us not only to see Christ, but to look to Christ, to trust Him, and to embrace Him by faith as our own and personal Savior. And we thank Thee, O God, tonight, O God, for redemption through the blood of Christ, the forgiveness of all of our sins, according to the riches, O God, of Thy grace. And Father, truly, Lord, tonight we're debtors to Thee, debtors to Thy grace, debtors, O God, to Thy mercy. And Lord, we realize, O God, that it is the mercies of the Lord that finds us here tonight in this place where prayer is wont to be made. Father, we thank Thee for all Thy goodness and mercies and blessings to us throughout today already. We thank Thee for health and strength. We thank Thee for food and raiment, our homes, our families. We thank Thee for all the temporal mercies of life that Thou dost give bountifully to us and to our hand. And we acknowledge, O God, tonight that every good and every perfect gift comes down from Thee, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And we rejoice, O God, tonight in salvation that is full and rich and free. We thank Thee, O God, for grace sufficient for our every need. We thank Thee, O God, tonight as Thy people, we have peace, O God, with Thee. peace that has been made through the blood of the cross. And Father, we thank thee for the great hope we have, that great prize that is before us as the people of God, that prize of heaven and of everlasting life and glory. And O God, we just pray that thou wilt bless our coming together here tonight. We pray, O God, that thou wilt prepare our hearts for that right reception of thy word and of thy truth. Do cleanse our hearts afresh in the Saviour's precious blood. And Father, outpour thy Holy Spirit, O God, upon us tonight. Now, Lord, around thy word and around the throne of grace and prayer. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. We thank thee for all who have been able to gather with us tonight. And bless every head bowed before thee. Bless every family and household represented, O God. Meet the need of every heart, of every life. And do bless all our homes and our families, O God, we pray. And Father, we pray that thou wilt just unite them all in the Lord, O God, we ask. And bless our homes, we pray, that they might know much of the blessing and the bounty and the peace and the presence of the Lord with them and in them day by day, O God, we ask. Again, Lord, we thank thee for the children's meeting tonight in Tresna. We thank thee for all the boys and girls that were in under the sound of thy word. And Lord, bless thy word and bless thy truth to these young lives, O God, we pray. And may each one of them come to know and trust the Lord as Savior. Bless the homes from which they come from, O God, we ask. And Lord, be pleased even to draw them in here under the sound of thy word, we ask. We think of those that cannot come tonight. Bless them, those that are laid aside in beds of sickness, and others because of age and infirmity cannot come. Minister to them, bless them. Remember, Lord, those that tend the bed of sickness also. May they know the help and the blessing and the grace of God divine to be their portion. And Father in heaven, we do pray, O God, for those that mourn, those that have suffered loss, even in our community in recent times. We pray that thou wilt comfort their hearts and be their helper and be their strength in their time of need. We pray for those also who would listen in online tonight, whoever they are, whoever they might be. We pray that thy blessing, Lord, shall be upon them, that thou wilt minister to them and encourage them and bless them in the ways of the Lord. Remember thy servant tonight who has come to minister amongst us. We thank thee for him. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless him tonight as he brings thy word and the report regarding the ploughing outreach and shows the DVD, we pray. Just make him truly the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message. And Lord, bless him tonight and use him tonight to encourage us as your people in the ways of the Lord. Bless his own congregation there in Convoy, we pray. May your hand be upon him there for good. And bless that work and add unto it such as should be saved. And encourage the people there and strengthen their hand in God, we do pray. Bless right across our land tonight. Bless our nation tonight. Remember other prayer meetings such as this, O God. Remember gospel missions and special outreaches on at this time, we pray. We pray that each one will know the blessing of God upon them, that thou would turn the tide in our land, north and south of the border, and that there might be that turning in the hearts of many, even unto the Lord. Bless us now and be with us this night and do our hearts much good, for we pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now I want to welcome everyone tonight. It's good to see so many gathered with us here in our midweek prayer meeting, and we bid you a warm word of welcome in the Lord's great name. Do remember, please, the services over the weekend. Pray for God's blessing upon them. The children's meeting here on Friday night, 6:30, and then the youth fellowship at 8 p.m. Pray for the young people as they gather. And then do remember also the services on the Lord's Day, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m., morning worship, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7. Pray for these meetings. Plan to join with us. And our brother, Mr. George Walker, will be with us to sing, God willing, on the Lord's Day evening. Do remember also the wedding on Thursday. Pray for Glenn and Rebecca, that God's blessing will be upon them and that God's presence and grace will be known and the wedding service here on Thursday as well. Just one other announcement. Our brother Jeffrey has maybe asked me to mention that if any of the brethren could stay behind just for a brief time this evening, just to help with a tidy up just here in the church prior to the wedding on Thursday. So do remember that. Please, if you're able to stay behind for a short time, that'll be deeply appreciated. Now, we give a very special welcome tonight to our good brother in Christ, the Reverend Jonathan Crean. He was with us some time ago to do a deputation of the work in Nepal. He's come tonight just to spread the need of the ploughing outreach. He's one of the team that's heavily involved in that year by year, and he's going to bring God's word and then also show a PowerPoint presentation on that ministry. Welcome him. We pray the Lord will bless him, bless his own congregation there in Convoy and Donegal as he labours for the Lord. We'll hand over now to our brother Jonathan. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Porter, for the words of welcome to Enniskillen. And we appreciate the Reverend Porter giving us this opportunity to minister to you and to bring you your report on the ploughing outreach. It's good to renew fellowship with him as well. And we pray that God will bless our brother James here in Enniskillen. I want to thank you, folks, for your interest in the ploughing outreach. I want to thank you for your giving practically as well, because it's deputation meetings like this that enable us to go on outreach and to spread the gospel to those down south and to give it out freely to them. And we thank you for all your work and your prayers. I'd like us tonight to turn to Revelation chapter 14. Book of Revelation chapter 14. And we're going to read verses 1 to 7 together. Revelation chapter 14, reading from verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. No man could learn that song, but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. In their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. Robert Moffat was a missionary many years ago, a very well-known missionary who came from East Lothian in Scotland. Robert Moffat was of the Congregationalist persuasion, and he became the father-in-law of the Scottish missionary David Livingstone. At the age of 21, Robert Moffat was commissioned by the London Missionary Society, or LMS for short, to go as a missionary to South Africa. He laboured extensively for the Lord around the Cape Town region and also in Natal province around Durban. On one occasion, a woman came to the mission station in Natal province, having walked upwards of 15 miles, and she came with a specific request to ask for a copy of the New Testament. Robert Moffat replied to the lady that He didn't think there was a copy to be found, and the lady was extremely disappointed at having made such an effort to come and get a copy of God's Word. And she told Robert Moffat of how she had borrowed a New Testament, but the owner had come to take it back. And she said that I and my family now sit very sorrowful, for there's no book to talk to us. She said that they were living in a cattle ranch there in Natal province, and there was no one to teach us the book either. And she urged the great missionary, would you not try, go and have a look and see if you can find a New Testament. Robert Moffat felt for the wee woman, moved at her words, and he told her to wait, and he would try and have a look, and he searched here and there, and eventually he found a copy, and he brought it to the woman. Her eyes lit up, and she clasped the hands of Robert Moffat. She started to kiss his hands over and over again, left the mission station with great rejoicing, and she had found a copy of God's words. Her heart overflowed. Friends, you and I don't have a problem like that. How precious is the Word of God? It's a book that is to be prized. And we praise God that not only do you and I not have problems like that woman faced in getting a copy of God's Word, it's not a problem either at the site of the Irish Ploughing Championships. For in our marquee, there are hundreds of copies of the Bible and New Testaments freely available to those who will take the opportunity. Many people come into the marquee and they cannot believe that those copies of God's Word are free. And many do take them with them. How necessary it is, therefore, that you and I be those who spread the Word of God among all nations. It's necessary, folks, that you and I do so in our local community. It's also necessary that we do so at home. That includes this island of ours. Praise God, through the Ploughing Outreach, the gospel is being spread across Ireland. And it is the Word of God at the end of the day that is able to save the soul. Verse 6 of our reading tonight speaks about the Word of God among all nations. I believe in verse 6 we have a missionary text before us. It's a very appropriate text for us to consider in a meeting like this. I'd like to leave three truths with you found in verse 6 as we base our remarks upon the Word of God among all nations. Verse 6 speaks of the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Let's notice first of all the message. Very simply, it's summed up in the words, the everlasting gospel. I want you to notice the adjective that describes the gospel. It's everlasting. That highlights for us this evening the timelessness of God's Word. It shows us something else. It shows us the permanence of the gospel. Because, friend, there never was a time when the gospel was not good news. That's what the word gospel means. It was always good news. It was the everlasting gospel that God proclaimed to our first parents when they fell in the Garden of Eden. That first gospel promise that was given in Genesis 3:15 about the seed of the woman coming, speaking of the virgin birth. There was God the Father making known the everlasting gospel to our first parents about a coming Redeemer. God made that gospel known to them of the virgin birth. In the next chapter of the book of Genesis, God makes that everlasting gospel known to Cain. He makes that gospel known to Cain after Cain had come with his offering, the offering of his own hands. And he had been given access to the gospel from his parents. He had been taught, just like Abel, his brother, how they were to approach God, but Cain decided, no, I don't believe that. I'll come my own way. And even though Cain brought the offering of his own hands, and God rejected that offering, you'll find that God still gave the everlasting gospel to Cain. He told him that if you do well, just like your brother, you shall be accepted also. There's God giving the free offer of the gospel to Cain, even though the Lord knew fine well Cain would reject it. Isn't there a lesson for us tonight? How many tracts and calendars and Bibles and have been given out and invitations to gospel missions, and the vast majority don't come, they just don't care. But your friend, God wasn't afraid to give the everlasting gospel to Cain, even though he knew he would say no. There's a lesson for us tonight. You know, there are those who would take their Calvinism away out on a limb, and they say, well, you cannot really preach the gospel, because what if you invite somebody who's the non-elect? You've told them that Christ has died for sin. You've actually told them lies. You know, friend, that's a load of bunkum. An absolute load of trash. Here is God giving the gospel, the everlasting gospel, to Cain, even though he knew he would reject it, the free offer. You know, Noah did the same. Noah preached the everlasting gospel to those in his day. The Bible describes Noah as a preacher of righteousness. He invited men and women for decades, told them about the ark and the judgment that was coming. He invited them to come into the ark, and the vast majority turned a deaf ear to it. Noah made known the everlasting gospel. Why? Because there only ever has been one way of salvation, friend. Not a different mode of salvation in every different era in the history of man. That's another load of bunkum. There only ever would be one Savior, one sacrifice for sin. The prophets in the Old Testament proclaimed the message of him who was to come. The apostles preached him who has come. And that's the message we preach as well. And friend, that's the message Ireland needs. Of a Savior who has come, who has done the work, and who did it all on Calvary's cross. And we give out unashamedly the free offer to all who come. It's for the whosoever. It's the message, the everlasting gospel. Secondly, let's consider the mission. And it's seen in the verb to preach in our text. That's the mission. How necessary it is to proclaim that good news. Now, that can be done in many ways. That can be done through the preaching in the pulpit. That can be done through printing. That can be done through distribution. It can be done through witnessing. Many of those modes are the method that Robert Moffat followed in South Africa. He proclaimed, he preached. He had the gospel printed, he translated it, he distributed it, he witnessed. Praise God, tonight you and I don't have to do the translating. It's all done for us. You don't have to sit down and learn Greek and Hebrew and then start to do the translation. And praise God also, friend, you don't have to do the printing. For there's many companies that do it for us. In the ploughing outreach, we can order large quantities of Bibles from Trinitarian Bible Society, and the individual Gospels as they're printed, and the New Testaments. We can order large quantities of calendars, and we always do. And that's where your money comes in. A deputation meeting like this, it enables us to purchase these things so we can give it out freely to the people. It enables the team to go down as well and to do the outreach themselves. And it is your help that enables the everlasting gospel to go forth. You might not do the preaching, but many are involved in the distributing. I know there were many calendars that were printed for the plough and were given out in connection with this church over the Christmas period and into the new year. That's the distributing of the everlasting gospel. There's children's meetings taking place in connection with this house of worship. That's the preaching of the everlasting gospel, and it's your contributions that enable that to continue. Maybe some give out little tracts quietly and nobody else knows what you're doing. You go away to an obscure part of Cavan or Sligo, whatever it is, you head off on your own and nobody knows. You're distributing and being a witness for the Lord. And it's the mission of God's people to do this, whether we preach it or whether we distribute it. Maybe some are involved in the printing of it and some are involved in the witnessing of it. I know many people feel a difficulty when it comes to speaking personally to an individual. It doesn't come handy. And I confess it doesn't come handy to me either. But you know, we can let a calendar do the talking. We can let the track do the talking for us. And friend, that's a wonderful thing. Just letterboxing, going round the district with the calendars at Christmas. What you are doing is making known that everlasting gospel. You're sowing, you're proclaiming. It's that incorruptible seed of the Word of God that you're handling, and that is our mission. Whether you proclaim it, preach it, whether you print it, distribute it, or witness to it, and that's our mission. And lastly, tonight there's the multitudes in verse 6. For it speaks of all kinds of people dwelling on the earth, every nation, and kindred, tongue, and people. And when you take those words into consideration, it conveys for us the idea of the great multitudes. What a crowd that is. With many different kinds of languages of people across the world, and they'll be there when the roll is called up yonder. They'll come from all sorts of races and dialects and tribes and ethnic communities and people from all nations. We think of India, the many languages there are in India alone. It's marvelous, you know, when you read of the history of the progression of the gospel in the South Sea Islands, like Fiji, for example, and Tonga, and Samoa. Fiji has a great gospel heritage today, but it wasn't always like that. Whenever John G. Patton and many others went to the South Sea Islands, those folks were just simply naked, savage cannibals. Many missionaries went out with London Missionary Society and they were boiled in a pot for somebody's soup. Yet today, the gospel is freely going forth in Fiji. You can think of the Tokyo Olympics and the Fiji men's sevens rugby team when they won the gold medal. Maybe you saw them gathered in a circle at the end of the match, and they sung a hymn, one verse in Fijian and another verse in English, acknowledging the Lord's mercies to them. What a turnaround. There's a people away in the Pacific Ocean, and they are numbered among the nations and the races and the dialects of those who will be gathered on that day. No man will be able to number them. What a sight it will be when God's Israel comes marching home, all as a result of the full-orbed gospel having been proclaimed. And we praise God that it is being proclaimed in our land. It's the preaching of Christ and Him crucified and coming again, of His glorious salvation that He offers. And we praise God that the Lord is drawing the Irish into His kingdom as well. They're responding. And there'll be people there, as we read, of every kindred and tongue. What about accents? They'll be all there. The Kerry accent will be there. The West Cork accent will be there. I don't know if you've ever spoken to anybody from West Cork. But if you have, well, you need to listen sharply. As they say, though, with the wildest accent. We advertised the calendar this last 2 years because there was no outreach. We advertised it in the Irish Farmers Journal. And when you get a lady from near Clonakilty, and she phones you on their landline, and you're looking for her name and address to post the calendar to her, and her name's an Irish name, and the first line of her address is an Irish address, and she's trying to spell it out over the phone to you, I can tell you, it just doesn't work the best. I can picture that wee woman. She phoned us again there just before Christmas, looking for calendars again, and I'm not joking, folks, maybe 6, 7, 8 times I had to put her over her name and put her over her address, that just thick West Cork accent. But a saved wee woman. Isn't that marvellous? The West Cork accent will be there. People talk about the filthy Dublin accent. It'll be there too. The Donegal accent and the Cavan accent and so on. They'll all be there, friend, when the Lord makes up his jewels. All voices will blend together in praise unto him who hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. To God be the glory. And that's why we have to go to the multitudes. And as we do, we trust that the Lord will bring them in from the fields of sin. It humbles us, friend, that God has given us a wee part to play in the bringing of them in, giving you a wee part to play in the ploughing as well. You give practically so that 20,000 calendars can be bought for the ploughing. Not just 20,000 calendars, but maybe another 16,000 on top of that for others who order them on an annual basis. It's you who goes out with them as well, your local area. John Blanchard, in his book of quotations, he said, the great need of the church is for a spirit of evangelism, not just a spurt of evangelism. Isn't that very true, friend? We often go through a spurt, don't we? And the spirit's not really there. Alexander Duff, an old Scottish minister, said, the church that ceases to be evangelistic will soon cease to be evangelical. Has not happened in many churches here in Fermanagh. They were once evangelistic, and now they're not even evangelical. May the Lord preserve us. Keep the testimony going. Bring the Irish to himself through our witness and through meetings like this, as your giving enables the team to go. Because it's the word of God among all nations. There was no ploughing last year or the year before. Maybe you're wondering, well, what are you having a deputation for? Well, folks, there was plenty went on, even though there was no ploughing there on the site. We did print many calendars last year. We printed 9,000 and this year 16,000, even though there was no ploughing. And that's tremendous. The last time we were there, the venue was Fenna, wee townland of Fenna, in County Carlow. It's about 5-6 miles or so from Carlow town. And whenever we were setting up the inside of the marquee, whenever we arrived on the Monday, it was just really a green field in front of us. There was no marquees on the other side of the aisle at that time. It was just a blank. And we thought, here, we're just stuck at the far end. This isn't the greatest of sights. But you know, when you look up hundreds of feet into the air, there's all sorts of coloured balloons, helium balloons. And many people haven't a clue what they're for, never twig on at all. If you're coming from a certain part of Ireland, you read the Irish Farmer's Journal, you follow a route in, and if you're coming the orange route from Galway, for example, well, look up into the sky and you'll see the orange balloon where you park your car. Amazing, you know, the amount of people will come to you and they'll say, do you know where the exit is? Well, there's 12 of them. And what part of Ireland did you come from? Well, in front of us, there was the brown balloon. And that meant, well, the folks from Cork and Kerry, that's where they were parking. You know, friend, on the Tuesday when the show started, it was amazing the amount of people from Cork and Kerry came into the tent, and we were in the very first row that they visited. There's many stories we could tell of people from that area. A man by the name of Paddy O'Sullivan, a typical Irish name. Paddy O'Sullivan works for Cork County Council. And he stood chatting with us at the book table. And he says, do you preach? He says, we do. You have many in your church. We told him about 30. Well, he says, you have more than us in our chapel. And he started to talk about the lack of young people. There's no young people at all in that chapel there in Cork City. Great conversation with a man like that. Very chatty. Just you'll find the Irish have a lovely accent. And they're the most chatty of people. And they will make away with you. And if you make away with them, well, the conversation will just go on. And that was so with that man, Paddy O'Sullivan. And he took the gospel away with him. And yes, there was no outward profession, but we leave it with the Lord. We were chatting to another individual by the name of Eugene Mitchell. And Eugene is from East Galway. His granda was a Presbyterian minister in Galway. And he says, you know, we have come a long way since that, because of a cousin who's now a priest and another cousin who's a nun. This man left Galway way back in the late 60s for employment reasons, and he went to London, became a Metropolitan Police officer. And he's now retired, he's back in Galway. Looking at the book table, and he saw a booklet about Martin Luther. And he says, wasn't he hung, drawn, and quartered? Told him, no. No, Martin Luther died a natural death. He was a married man, and he had a family. Oh, that's not what we were taught in school. We were taught that he was hung, drawn, and quartered. And we had a lengthy conversation for about 15 minutes with that man. He's very liberal. He's very open-minded. He certainly was not closed to hearing the gospel. But our brother Paul McManus, here from Enniskillen, we have his testimony in CD form. Paul's a converted Roman Catholic. We recommend that he take that with him. And also John Blanchard's booklet, No Longer or Ultimate Questions, took a Bible with him as well, and Luther's booklet. We're speaking to a young lad by the name of Shane in his early 20s from Leathermore. And Leathermore is in Connemara. Shane was saved 7 years prior to the ploughing. No church in sight, never went to church. And yet the Lord gloriously saved him. Began to sense that Roman Catholic Church is not all that it's made out to be. And he started to listen to messages on the internet. He started to listen to Reformed Baptist churches in America. And through that, Shane was saved. He was helping the folks from Cavan Christian Bookshop on their stand. Came into our marquee and wanted to see the kind of display that was on there in our marquee. And there's an example, folks, of what the Lord can do. Greatly encouraged to meet that young lad from Connemara. How the Lord was able to reach down there in the west of Ireland and pluck him as a brand from the burning and not a gospel witness in sight. The Lord greatly encouraged the team in around lunchtime or so on that Tuesday. A wee man came into the marquee and he says, can you tell me how I could be born again? Now there was a sign, poster up behind the book table, ye must be born again. But he could not have seen it when he came into the marquee because it was along the gable wall where the door was. So therefore he would have been behind it. Yet the very first question, he says, can you tell me how I could be born again? What a question. Started to witness to him and explain the way of salvation to him. And to illustrate it as best we could, we asked him his name. He said it was John. Talked to John about the gospel. We says, John, what's your surname? He says, Slattery. John, when did you become a Slattery? He didn't understand the question. Just says, well, John, when did you take on the surname of Slattery? He says, when I was born. John, you were born into a family. You took on the name of Slattery. Immediately you were born. John is the same in the gospel. And you ask the Lord to cleanse away your sin and to come into your heart that you might be his child. You're born into God's family. You become a Christian. Friend, we can only describe it as a light bulb moment. And he started to ask questions. He says, you know, I make my confession every night. I pray to John Paul II above my bed every night, a picture of JP2 above his bed. Didn't knock the wee man for that. Just told him, you know, John, it's good to make your confession. But, you know, you can go directly to the Lord and you can tell the Lord your sins and ask him for forgiveness. We gave him a brief word of testimony, how the Lord had saved us, and showed him how the Lord had done it all. One of the cries on the cross, it is finished. John, you can be saved. He says, I'd like to do that. Didn't put any pressure on him whatsoever. John, it's entirely your call. It's your decision. He spoke of going to confession the week before the ploughing and coming away very disappointed. Again, just to make things clear, very briefly, went over the gospel with him. He says, no, I'd like to do what you're talking about. He says, John, we'll go down to the back of the marquee in behind the partition. Nobody will see us what we're doing. That's what happened. Briefly, three verses of the book of Romans were showed to him. John, would you like to be saved? Yes, I would. Well, John, we'll pray. And you repeat these words. He says, we may go slow for I'm hard of hearing. And we did. You know, friend, as soon as we said amen, he started to speak with tears in his eyes. He says, I've turned a corner now. Glad I've met you. He says, you know, this is the best day of my life. I went to chapel last week, made my confession and very disappointed. Took him out behind the partition and introduced him to other members of the team. That wee man's age 78. He's from Garry Spillane in County Limerick. He took with him Paul McManus's CD and Brother Larry Power's CD and Dick Coe's booklet, No Longer Searching, and a copy of God's Word. It's obvious God had been preparing that wee man's heart in the week prior to the ploughing. Your friend, about 20 minutes after that, the same thing happened again. Young lad, aged 19, Aaron, from just outside Carlow, between the site of the ploughing and Carlow town. He was loitering about at the entrance with maybe 7 or 8 friends. They were all introduced to the calendar. The friends were all giddy and all that sort of stuff, and they had no interest in talking or anything, but Aaron was. He says, lads, you go on, I want to talk here. Very first thing he says is, what's Presbyterianism? Told him what Presbyterianism was and how largely it is Presbyterianism that has introduced democracy into society. How in Presbyterian circles you vote and elect onto the church session and so on. He said, oh, I'd like to do that. Well, Aaron, before you become a Presbyterian, you would need to be born again. His mother was Roman Catholic. His dad was a Church of Ireland. He said there's no difference between the two. And again, roughly the same pattern as was taken with John Slattery, was taken with Aaron. Cut a long story short, down to the back of the partition, the marquee. Aaron Jeffers asked the Lord into his heart. You know, the Lord was working in people's hearts prior to the ploughing. On the Wednesday, were speaking to a fellow called John Paul Rice, who talked about having prayer groups in his house. We thought this is tremendous. Here's a man who's opened up his home to the gospel. And we detected as the conversation went on, this man is a Roman Catholic. We told him about the CDs that we had there, Paul McManus's and Larry Powers and Brendan O'Hagan from our church in Randallstown and Leighton Kelly from Tala in Dublin. All these CDs are testimonies of converted Roman Catholics. Well, what's that? You never heard of it before. Explained to him what it was all about. You know, he says, I'm actually searching. Well, we says to him, you know, with exactly the thing you're looking for. Here's a booklet, No Longer Searching. Explained to him about Dick Keogh from Thurles and showed him the very introduction of how Dick, a Roman Catholic, and his Protestant friend, both of them were hoping to go to heaven. At the end of the day, neither of them had any hope. He took that booklet with him, along with the Bible. A wee man by the name of Robert Dean. He's from Dunmanway in West Cork. Wee Church of Ireland man, but goes to faith mission meetings in Skibbereen and Clonakilty in Dunmanway. He comes every year into the tent and he'll fill a bag of literature and away he'll go. Lovely to renew the contact with that wee man, just to show you, friend, that God has his people everywhere. They're not free Presbyterians. Many of them are in the Church of Ireland away down south. There's nothing else for them but to go to these faith mission meetings in the community on a Sabbath evening. Speaking to a man by the name of Tom Dowley. Tom's a converted Roman Catholic. He's a door-to-door evangelist with Kilkenny Presbyterian Church. Mentioned that one night on deputation. And some people, you know, friend, there's a church in Kilkenny that's doing a work for the Lord. Let them get on with it. That man testified how four souls, through his witness on the door, came to Christ in the year of the ploughing. We were greatly encouraged to hear that. May the Lord bless that man and that church in their efforts for the Saviour. Shortly after that, we were speaking to a man by the name of Oliver. He was actually on his way out of the tent. We asked him, did you get a calendar? He says, no. But I got one last year, and it's hanging in my office. Says to him, you know, we do meetings for this so we can raise money to give the calendars out free. Do you mind telling us where your office is so we can use it as an illustration? He says, no, it's the HSE office in Mullingar. Well, the conversation started. This man had a lot to get off his chest. He started to talk about the abortion referendum. He prayed that it would never be imposed in Northern Ireland. And he started to speak about his disbelief of one Roman Catholic doctrine after another. And friend, it was obvious this man had read deep. And I mean deep. It's on the DVD tonight. And he says, I'm going to use a term you might not agree with, but I'm trying to break free from the whore of Babylon. Now, there's a man who had been reading. He says to him, no, not at all, Oliver, I agree entirely with what you've said. He started to speak about purgatory, infallibility of the Pope, and so on. Just one thing after another, we had very little to say. He just drove the conversation, turned it around to salvation. Oliver, you need to be saved, I know I do. Explained the way of salvation, he says, I know that. Well, Oliver, you can get saved tonight. Recommend you go home and ask the Lord into your heart. In fact, Oliver, there was a man went home from the ploughing last year on the train to Limerick, took a heart attack and he never made it to Limerick and he died. Oliver, you mightn't get home to Coot Hill this evening. He says, I know. He says, I'd like to get saved. Same thing, folks. Down behind the partition. Oliver Smith from Coot Hill in Cavan asked the Lord to be his saviour. He says, I know folks from Corrigeri. He says, that's good. I'm not telling you what church to go to, Oliver. But make sure you go somewhere where you're comfortable, where you can settle in, you can be part of the church, go to the prayer meetings, and where you're going to grow as a Christian. He says, also know folks from Calvin Baptist. Well, Oliver, if you want to go to Calvin Baptist, that's fine. But make sure you go somewhere where you're going to be fed as a newborn believer. You know, the Lord was good at the ploughing friend. The Lord gave many tokens for good. One last illustration. A wee woman on the Thursday came into the marquee and she made a wee bit of a mistake. She says, is this the Holy Mary stand? Says it's not, but we knew where it was. It was about 5 or 6 marquees up from ours. But we didn't tell her where it was. She was in a bit of a state. Her son's a drug addict at home. She says, have you anything for him? Little tract there on the table called King Heroin, produced by our friends from the Brethren there in Loch Gall, the Farquhar family. And we gave her that little booklet, John Blanchard's booklet, No Longer Our Ultimate Questions, and a little New Testament. Didn't want to bombard her with too much. Told her to take it with her and give it to her son. Up from us where the Legion of Mary stand was, there's a photograph of it on the marquee, on the DVD tonight. Had these little things about Don Square. Wee bits of paper folded in half for pray for the veneration of so-and-so. And wee bottles of holy water. And these wee cheapies, rosary beads. Now, the old plastic is half stuck together on them. Set of instructions on how to use them. That's all they had. And dear knows that the wee woman had it went there, that's all she'd have took home with her. Just complete darkness. But in the providence of God, she came in. Is this the Holy Mary stand? She went away with the gospel. You know, there's 20,000 calendars given out at the ploughing. 174 Bibles taken from the book table and 93 New Testaments. And 293,000 people came to the show. You know, when the show was over, things continued. About 7 or 8 weeks after the show was over, we got a phone call from the Reverend Andrew Patterson, our minister at that time in Kilkeel. There was a wee man, bachelor farmer. I'm not knocking bachelor farmers. But you know what they're like sometimes? They go around a show, and everything that's free, they'll just stuff their bag with. And they'll take it home. Well, that's what the wee man did. He had been in the marquee. He had filled it with gospel literature, the bag with the calendar. And he took it home and he just set it on the kitchen table and that was it. And his sister was coming in to clean the house. They're from Jonesboro, away in the border of South Armagh. The sister started to read the literature. And in the weeks after the ploughing, she got saved. And she gave the literature to her cousin. And her cousin got saved. And she knew the link between the Free Presbyterian address and contact details on the back of the calendar and the Let the Bible Speak charity shop in Banbridge where the Reverend Patterson's wife works. And she had to tell it and she went into the shop to tell it. And that's how we heard. You friends, eternity will reveal the sowing through the ploughing and through your sowing here in Enniskillen. Even though there was no ploughing this last couple of years, we advertised in the Farm and Life and the Farmer's Journal. And between those two papers and the contact details that we've had with people through the Consider Christ meetings, 1,217 calendars were posted. That's a lot of money to post. That's where your money comes in, friend. There might have been no ploughing, but the outreach is still going on. I want to thank you for your prayers and for your practical giving to the ploughing. It's a tremendous outreach. It's a privilege to be a part of it. It's a privilege to go in the outreach. And, friend, we commend it to you. We trust that God will bless what has been said tonight to your heart, be an encouragement to you. We can often think of missionary work as missionary work in Nepal, in the Congo, in Fiji. Well, you know, we forget about home, don't we? We forget about the Irish. And friend, the Irish need the gospel. I commend the Irish people to you. Pray for them. And when outreach comes among them, through the Consider Christ, get involved. I want to thank you for listening. And I'm sorry for going on a wee bit. But may God bless what has been said to the glory of his name. And we'll show you the DVD. Thank you.
The Irish National Ploughing Championships commenced with the first ever inter-county ploughing competition in Corstown, Athy, on Monday the 16th of February 1931. The championships soon became an important... All-Ireland event, held in September of each year, and now attracts around 300,000 visitors over the three-day event. It has expanded from a site requiring 26 acres to needing over 700 acres of land today. This includes 180 acres for ploughing, 100 acres for trade stands, and 400 acres car parking nearby.
Free Presbyterian Church had its first witness at the Ploughing Championship somewhere around 1998. It came about because I used to watch it on the television and the news reports for about a couple of years beforehand. It's held in the September and RTE would send a film crew over. And I used to see all the great crowds of people and usually meeting around the Midlands. And although I had a little work going on Cork, yet nevertheless, you were always looking for an opportunity to evangelise a little further. So I got on the telephone to the Reverend Gordon Dane, who at that time was the minister in Corrigerry, Free Presbyterian Church, and also with Mr. Desi McComb, who was working under the mission board as an evangelist round the border area. And it wasn't hard to persuade these men to come along, and they gave us a hand. We went to Wexford, and all we had was just a big tent to stay in. And I can just remember how cold it was, even in September. But we went in, and we took gospel tracts with us. And I can distinctly remember saying to the men, this isn't just a matter of evangelising now. Let's keep our eyes and ears open. Let's survey the land, as it were, because I have a feeling that we will be coming back again. We just paid our money to go in. We give out the tracts, people would stop and talk, what's this? And we had many good opportunities. And then, of course, when we wanted to put up the stall, we had to declare our hand what we were doing. But we ran into no problems whatsoever with that. They seemed happy enough, as they have been all these years, for us to come along. At the beginning, we were running this on a very tight budget, a shoestring budget, just wasn't the money to spare. And what we had originally was just a little parasol on a little picnic table, one of these little cheapies that you get out of one of the garden centres, and we had a great time with that. We then moved up into using a small market stall that I had been given, and that gave us a canvas over it. And then we moved from that to where we are today into a marquee, and that's when the whole witness took on a whole new dimension.
The presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church shared the burden to spread the gospel message throughout Ireland and offered wholehearted support for more resources, both in personnel and finance. We were heartened and encouraged with the opportunity for outreach at the annual ploughing championships. Consequently, a larger team are sent each September and facilities are rented, which provide space to welcome and give opportunity for personal witness with visitors, especially relating to spiritual matters. From very humble beginnings, but with the prayers and support of God's people, the work has grown substantially. Now our presbytery sends a team of at least 12 people to do evangelism at the annual event in the Republic of Ireland. We give glory to God for thousands of souls who have been reached and for those who have been saved as a result. The ploughing championships attract international visitors and thousands of Irish people from every county in the island. Venues include various places like Kinnegad, Tullamore, Portlaoise, Athy, Carlow, Kilkenny, Hugh Ross and Cork. Each September, with a full load of literature and equipment, a team of up to 15 people travel south for the venue that year. After passing through the trade entrance queue, the team get busy unloading equipment and materials, and the many hands begin the task of setting up the tent for the outreach. Everything must be in place before the crowds arrive. Patrons have individual preferences amongst the wide variety of attractions and activities on offer over the 3 days. They make their way on foot and by various means to their area of choice in the vast 700-acre site, which is home to the championship for that year. When visitors explore the exhibitors' displays, often there are opportunities to witness as they pass the tent. Team members take every chance to pass on gospel literature and sometimes are able to engage in personal witness when people enter the tent for a cuppa or to browse the literature on display.
The book table in our marquee at the ploughing plays a very important part in our outreach every year. The book table is placed at the entrance to the marquee. At the corner of the book table, the Bibles and New Testaments are strategically placed so that it is the first item that the people see on the way in. And when people are told that the literature is free on the book table, many are surprised at that fact and they wonder how that could be. They're often told that someone else has paid that you might have it for free. Often that is followed by the line, that's just like the gospel and how the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for the debt for our sin on the cross and how he offers us his free salvation. And generally speaking, after that, the conversations begin to open up. On the book table, we have our Bibles and New Testaments that are all free and the gospel prints that have been produced, farming scenes upon them in postcard form, with an accompanying gospel text, which proved to be very popular indeed. Also, we have farming bookmarks with that flavour upon them, with a little gospel message on the back in 80 to 100 words in length. We have many items of literature geared towards children and free tracts and gospel booklets and so on the table. This past year, 174 Bibles were taken from the table and 93 New Testaments. Indeed, there was one teacher, a primary school teacher from Portlaoise, who took with him 60 of those prints for the little children in his class.
Another teacher, an RE teacher from Clane in County Kildare, took 12 Bibles with him for his RE class that they might be in class for the pupils to make use of during their lessons.
As already mentioned, the trade exhibits occupy a huge area of around 100 acres. This makes it unlikely that patrons will be able to visit all displays in the course of a single day. Therefore, for several years, the outreach team took the initiative to contact more people by distributing gospel calendars in the aisles throughout the show. Unfortunately, this practice has had to cease because show officials decided to implement a policy of restricting distribution of leaflets and flyers to the area immediately outside a trader's own display stand. Obviously, this would have the effect of reducing the number of people reached with gospel literature. To counter this restriction, the ploughing outreach team now hire a small stand at another location in the exhibition area, and some members of the team relocate to the second smaller stand and use this additional base as another distribution point. This has helped to reach a maximum number of visitors. Please pray that this door of opportunity will remain open in the years to come.
The team distributed 20,000 gospel calendars that had been produced for the occasion. And what a wonderful blessing it was to have 20,000 with us and all 20,000 distributed. And it was lovely to see people with a readiness and a willingness to receive the gospel calendar. Early on the Tuesday morning, one Christian lady from Dunmanway in County Cork came to the book table and requested for 25 of those calendars. She would come annually to receive a quantity of calendars, and she would keep them until Christmas and give them out to her neighbours around that farming part of County Cork. And what a wonderful blessing it is to know that God's word is going forth independently of the team who worked down there at the ploughing. Another lady from County Tipperary, who works in a home for 16 retired priests, has been coming to the marquee now for a number of years, and she came to renew the contact and to gather up more items of literature and calendars to take home for those priests. Indeed, a couple of years ago, two of those priests in that home had requested that while she was at the ploughing that she make a call to our marquee and that she come home with literature for them. What a blessing that is to know and to understand that God is working here, there and yonder across Ireland. We were greatly encouraged. The Lord was good, and we thank him for his mercies and for the liberty that we have to proclaim his word.
The wide variety of interests catered for at the championships helps to attract the 300,000 visitors each and every year. It can be a very enjoyable experience and a time when patrons can watch the competition, browse the stands, or perhaps pamper their nostalgic pleasures. The pleasant environment, however, cannot always be guaranteed. Sometimes the September weather is unsuitable for maximum enjoyment and indulging in nostalgia. The muddy conditions have even left the team grounded for a period, literally stuck in the mud. Poor weather and heavy rain can flood more than the outside areas, but the important job of witnessing in the tent carries on, even in adverse conditions. Perhaps the most challenging is when the wind blows a severe gale, and that condition lasts for hours on end. In a recent year, the storms were so heavy that the show had to be closed for a day and events rescheduled to an extra day by extending the event. While havoc was created by the winds, with stands being tumbled or ripped apart, we are thankful to the Lord that the Gospel Outreach stand was not severely damaged. Young and old alike are happy that the weather is often much more kind. Perhaps that's what ensures a popular annual event.
Here at the ploughing, we received great encouragement indeed. On the Tuesday of the outreach, one elderly gentleman, aged 78, came up to the book table, and the first question he asked was, "Can you tell me how I could be born again?" This gentleman had been searching for the truth. He had been to confession the week before and had come away very disappointed. Came into the marquee with many questions to ask. And what a question to ask in opening up a conversation. As he was witnessed to, the gospel was made clear to him and of how he could be saved and born again. Towards the end of the conversation, he said, "I would like to do that." And at the end of the conversation, he went down to the back of the marquee and he was shown the way of salvation and pointed to Christ. When he had prayed the sinner's prayer, the first thing he said was, "I have turned a corner now. This is the best day of my life, and I am no longer searching." That little man is from County Limerick, and what a blessing to meet him. And it was obvious that the Lord had been working and preparing in his heart prior to the ploughing. Shortly after he left, another young man, aged 19, from County Carlow, was asking similar questions. The first question he asked was, "What is Presbyterianism?" He was told what Presbyterianism is. He was also told that the first step that you need to take is becoming a born-again Christian. When that was explained to him, and after quite a lengthy conversation, that young lad also went down to the back of the marquee and asked the Lord to be his saviour.
While people of all ages engage in the activities and competitions offered on the day, some better prepared and more skilled than others, we long that they may become aware of their common spiritual need. It's only by having Christ that they can have genuine hope for the future.
A gentleman had visited the book table and had taken a calendar home with him, and the conversation started. He said, "I'm going to use a term that maybe you will not agree with. I am trying to break free from the whore of Babylon." We told him we agree very much with his statement. And he started to tell of how he was studying from the scriptures and saw how incompatible the doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church were to the Word of God. After he had spoken at length, he started to witness to him about the need for his soul. He knew of his need of salvation. He knew what he needed to do. He was only a step away from the kingdom. And again, that man from County Cavan went down to the back of the marquee behind the partition and asked the Lord into his heart. And what a wonderful thrill that was for everyone in the team. Gave everyone a lift. And we saw how the Lord had been working in hearts up until the ploughing. That was a wonderful blessing indeed.
It is vital that those who are witnessing at the ploughing outreach should be guided and assisted by the Holy Spirit as to how and when to approach a visitor on spiritual matters. Striking up a conversation is key, and being a good listener is just as important as positively witnessing for the Lord when the opportunity arises. While the team rejoices in those who have found saving faith in Christ at the ploughing and elsewhere as a result, the work is largely a case of sowing the good seed of the word amongst those who have never heard the good news of the gospel. May the precious seed fall on well-prepared and well-cultivated soil. Today in Ireland, many have turned from religion to materialism and worldly pleasures. Others are still trying to work their way to heaven and involved in idol worship and praying to the saints for help, unaware that salvation can be found by faith alone in Christ alone.
On behalf of the Ploughing Outreach team, I want to thank you for your prayerful, practical and financial support of this work. By your faithful support, the outreach at the Irish National Ploughing Championships has now been maintained for over 20 years. This has meant that thousands of people from the Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland and Great Britain and further afield have been reached with the gospel. Also, the Ploughing Outreach team must thank the Lord that souls have been saved and believers have been blessed through this witness. With the words of 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, we can say, Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and the verse number 11, Paul says, ye also helping together by prayer for us. And by these words, he was telling the Corinthians that they had been a help to him in his missionary labours by their prayers. Likewise, child of God, by your prayers, you too can be a great help and encouragement to the outreach team at the Ploughing Championships. And as you continue to pray for this work, pray that the Lord will be honoured through the witness. Pray that the door will ever remain open. Pray that the Lord will give wisdom to the team in all their plans. Pray for favourable weather and safety for all involved, for the right location for the marquee, and that hearts would be open and receptive to God's word, and that sinners would be saved and believers would be encouraged, and that the Lord might use the witness even to open up other doors for the preaching of the gospel in the Irish Republic. Thank you for your interest, and may the Lord bless you also in your witness and service for God. And may we do all that we can to spread the gospel, for the Bible tells us the night cometh when no man can work. What God is doing in hearts and lives south of the border. So we thank you for your support, encourage you to remember that work, pray for it, and pray especially that even this year that door will open again, even that the restrictions might be lifted and that door will be open again. Make that a prayer day by day that God would just intervene to that end. Do remember the offering tonight, that offering in its entirety goes to help this work and to spread the gospel south of the border. We're just going to close by singing together just the final hymn in our wee hymn sheet. It's a well-known missionary hymn. It says, call them in, the poor, the wretched, sin-stained wanderers from the fold, peace and pardon freely offered. Can you weigh their worth with gold? Call them in, weak and weary, laden with the doom of sin. Bid them come and rest in Jesus. He is waiting. Call the minute. Reminds us of our great responsibility to call others to the Lord, to the gospel, and to come to Christ and to the gospel feast. We'll stand as we sing And then maybe just after the singing of this hymn, maybe Brother Colin would just bring our meeting to a close in prayer, please.
Scripture that says that multitudes were added unto the Lord. Mm. And
And we pray for such a day in our island, O Lord, with all the problems that have infested this island. We believe that the answer to every need is the gospel of Christ. Mm-hmm. We pray, Lord, that it might go forth, conquering and the conquered. And that there will indeed be in that last great day, and all the elect of God are gathered in, many, Lord, from every county in our island. We turn to thee, Lord, that's why we pray. We of ourselves can do nothing, but we thank thee that it's the Lord that gives the increase, and therefore it is the Lord. He gets all the glory. Just ask you now to part us with your blessing, resting upon us, while our Son and Holy Spirit take us to our homes and safety. In Jesus' name, amen.